I've failed at this twice now, and it feels terrible. And all of my demons come out, and I stick my head in the ground and think about, you know, all the things I've done wrong. This is also, by the way, a very typical female thing to do first, is to run through the tape of all the things that you've done wrong, rather than acknowledging what you've done right, or perhaps the things that weren't in your control. And it feels bad.
Welcome to the Leadership Junkies podcast, brought to you by Carnivera, the leadership development ecosystem that helps you grow your people, grow your business, and grow your life. We're also excited that we're now part of the Evergreen Podcast Network. We're so excited to be part of this group with so many fantastic podcasts and hosts, and we're excited for the opportunity to expand our reach and our message and our impact through Evergreen. Today, we're thrilled to have Kate Bradley Chernis with us. She is the founder and CEO of Lately. It's an AI platform that helps you learn your brand voice and literally turns blogs, videos, text, and podcasts into dozens, if not hundreds, of social posts. In short, Lately helps you amplify your message, your brand, your sales and marketing, and your results. Kate is here to share her fascinating journey, from spending a lot of time in radio at the highest level and now shifted over to a female in technology working in AI. She's going to talk about the platform and how AI can amplify your business. We're going to talk about some deeper messages, though, in leadership and business, the role of magic in your sales, marketing, business, and life. We're going to talk about the importance of continuing to have a childlike sense of wonder, both in your leadership and in your life. Kate's going to share a lot of her life journey and some of the many challenges she has faced as a female entrepreneur, both in living in what's largely a men's world, but also dealing with her own self-doubt and self-insecurities that pop up from time to time. Kate's also going to wrap up with this incredible bit of wisdom about the importance of listening to your gut. Welcome to the Leadership Junkies podcast, where we explore leadership, business, and personal growth to help you grow your business and live a richer life. We're your hosts, Jeff Dischwitz
and Craig Matthews. We believe that leaders have to put their people first. And if you don't have time to grow your people, then you're not leading.
Get ready for conversations that will challenge your thinking and help you transform your leadership and your business.
Welcome to your bigger business and bigger life.
We are so excited to be back here today. I'm particularly excited because I really thought I had met Kate before. And we actually have never met, but I have heard about her. I've talked about her. I have other people talk about her to me. So I feel like we had met already. So we're excited to have Kate.
Oh, this is that Kate.
Oh, this is this Kate. Oh, don't tell her everything I said. So we have Kate Bradley Chernis with us. She is the founder and CEO of a company called Lately. You're going to hear a lot about it. I became very familiar with it this summer. And Lately uses AI to learn your brand voice and turn blogs, videos, and podcasts into dozens, if not hundreds, of social posts. Hmm. She's a former marketing agency owner. She initially created the idea for Lately out of spreadsheets for one of her clients then, a small company called Walmart. And got them a 130% ROI year over year for 3 years. Astounding numbers. Now, prior to founding Lately, she served 20 million listeners as music director and on-air host at Sirius XM. She's an award-winning radio producer, engineer, voice talent, 25 years of national broadcast, communications, brand building, sales, and marketing expertise. And most important, she is cool.
Don't tell anybody.
Welcome.
To be a badass.
Come on, raise the bar.
Thank you. Thanks, Craig. Thanks, Jeff, for that kind intro. It's really a pleasure to be with you both.
Okay, I gave a little bit of the words of your background, but give the listeners a little bit of the story of where you come from.
Oh boy, I never know where to start because there's so many good places, but the rock and roll DJ bit is a good one, right? So broadcasting to 20 million listeners a day for XM, and I'd been in radio for about a dozen years up and down the Eastern Seaboard before I went to XM, in a little format called AAA, which means Adult Album Alternative. And this all bleeds into you know, this life now, but I'll talk about it for a second because I love the theater of the mind, right? This is why I love doing these shows also. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love the voice. Voice to me is notes like music. Right?
So yes. Most people's.
Yeah, most people's, right. Brand Drescher, not so much. But that there's a cadence. There's a rhythm. There's the silence. There's the space. There's the volume. And there's the draw, right? There's something about similar with reading and writing, which is also why I like writing. But because there's that third component is the listener or the reader, the onus is on them to do some of the work to make the magic happen. And that's a mystery, right? You don't get to fill in the blanks. So as the host or the author, it's a little cowboy, cowgirl, right? You can't predict totally how they're going to be, but yet you get to steer it, right? You guys do this every day.
Yeah. Well, that's actually one of the reasons I love audiobooks, especially with a really good narrator. It just makes a book come alive.
It's true. And I'm sure if you've ever been to a reading and you're an author reads and they're terrible at it, there's a reason why they hire actors to do it, right? Because you're always disappointed. Because it doesn't sound like it sounds in your head. But the reason, you know, I wanted to just press on the music career for a little bit is because the neuroscience of the way we listen to music actually fuels the baseline of the artificial intelligence at Lately.
Wow. So let's connect the dots a little more for everybody, Kate. You spend a big chunk of your life, professional life, in radio and production and voices, all these things. And now you're in the midst of, it's still a startup.
Yeah.
With Lately. So first of all, let's talk about what Lately is. Talk about what Lately is, then we'll get to the whole startup elements of it.
Yeah, sure. So I'll give you big picture, like investor vision, and then I'll, you know, be more practical. But the vision of Lately is to not only write for you, but write a better you, right? So writing is our focus. That's typically the key piece for sales, marketing, any person. Hates writing. It's really not something that people are really good at. They shy away, fear the blank page, guessing what to say, you know? And it turns out that writing is the baseline of all of our communication. Video is nice, but in the end, you have to promote it with some text, right?
Good point.
And so Lately studies your brand voice by connecting to your social channels. You give it access to any social channels you like, and as many as you want, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever. And we look at a year's worth of content and we update that year every day. So it's constantly learning. And we're studying the words, the keywords, the key phrases, the sentence structures that literally built the social post that got you the highest engagement. And we're using that as a writing model. And so when you feed us content so that the brain can learn your voice, like a video, like an audio podcast or something. It could be a webinar, a lecture. It could be an interview with a CEO. It could also be any kind of blog, website page, or chapters of a book, any kind of text whatsoever. You feed that content to the brain. The brain applies the writing model. It's looking through all the key phrases and words and sentence structures, and it's trying to pull out what it already knows is going to get you the highest engagement, the most shares, the clicks and comments. And it recommends, in this case now, as it lives now, social posts based on what it learns will work for you.
Interesting. So when you call it the brain, is that your official term for it? Do you call it something else? I have another friend, he calls his Ray, you know, there's an acronym for it, you know. And so, you know, does brain stand for something or what?
That's a good question. So which no one has ever asked. So technically the brain is about 82% our brain, but we also integrate with Google's OpenAI, GPT-3, Meaning Cloud, and Watson.
Okay.
So the brain is, you know, multifaceted, which is good.
But so it's multiple brains.
Multiple brains. But so I was also a fiction writing major in college. Raise your hand, English majors. Remember, they thought we were worthless. Mm-hmm. Look who's laughing now.
Yeah, right.
Yep. So how Lately Learns First is from me. So all those social posts that get published on my personal brand channels, I write. And I'm good at that. And so Lately Studies Me is the first line of best practice. Then I created a series of writing rules that I give a course on, but I taught my entire staff to do those same writing rules. And so then Lately Studies what they do, and my marketing team applies it to anything we run through the AI. So like today with you and Jeff, I'm not doing this just to be nice. I'm going to ask you for the file. I'm going to run it through the AI and use it for lead gen because I have a 98% sales conversion. Let me say that again. 98% sales conversion using only Lately for all lead gen. We don't do any paid ads or cold calls or cold emails, right? So then we teach all of our customers these same tactics. So there's multiple layers that the AI is actually, that brain, right? Mm-hmm. It's a complicated brain.
Sounds like it.
So Kate, let's go a little bit more micro. I have some familiarity with Lately. So you're talking about what the brain does and how it takes your brand and helps you amplify your brand and target your brand. But from a practical level, talk about just what it actually does for someone. If they're going to upload it, you just said it creates social media posts, but go into a little more detail about what's the output of Lately. Sure.
So literally you upload this interview and it instantly transcribes the whole thing and it reads the text and it looks for the best one-liners that you, me, or Craig have said today. And it matches the video clips of those liners together with the text version. And it pulls them into probably 100 social posts it would get out of this.
Wow.
And they're drafts, so you can edit them. And in fact, we want you to, because the AI, it's only a robot. It needs the human, you know, because people have this weird... They think that AI is magic. It ain't.
Yeah.
I never say ain't. I don't know why I said that, but it's not.
Because you're talking to a Southerner.
Yeah, it just happened. Sorry about that.
That's right.
Did I answer the whole question, Jeff? I can't remember.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, cool.
I wanted to get that out there because as Craig's reaction was similar to mine, it's like, wow, this is, it's ready to go. And so it's an incredible tool.
Thanks.
And people need to take a look at it, use it, implement it. You've heard her talk about conversion rates, but I want to talk about what's behind the story. Let's start with, I got to ask this question now. You said during your introduction, you referenced making the magic happen. And I love the word magic. I think so. We need more magic. In fact, there's more magic everywhere. People just don't see it. But my question is, Kate, do you think that we make the magic or we let the magic happen?
Huh.
So I love that your focus is here because I believe in magic. I'm fascinated by Houdini specifically, and I've done a lot of reading there. And I reread the entire Harry Potter series every summer.
Me? Yeah, every winter for me. Starts November.
Yeah, right. And oh, you're going to make me cry a little bit, actually. So I love the je ne sais quoi. I love the things we can't explain. And all humans encompass that, right? I mean, that's what makes us specifically humans. It's to err is the human, but to be magical is really the human. You know, only I can reach through this screen and make you feel, Jeff, as though we've met before. Right?
Yeah.
What is exciting to me about artificial intelligence is that the AI's job is to get you 3/4 or more of the way there, right? AI on its own it's cold. It is, you know, just numbers, really. Sorry, math majors.
So it's more so there's artificial intelligence, then there's assistive intelligence. And so you're really talking about it's more assistive.
Yeah. So there's so in the industry, I've been told it's called, I only know enough to be dangerous here, but pseudo artificial intelligence. And then the other one would be, I guess, authentic, it's called. So that's pseudo really relies on the human the whole way. Mm-hmm. The authentic actually starts to learn on its own. And so lately has been in both phases, by the way, because you have to start somewhere.
Right.
Right. But to finish that thought, it's the addition of the human that fills in that piece. Mm-hmm. And especially with sales and marketing, because marketing is a black box of mystery. It is. You can science it to death. And I laugh at those people because like, it's just, it always is more art than science. It always will be.
Wait, right? You got to test your ads?
Yeah, you can test all day long, but you always can explain it because right. The residual of someone could hear me a year later on this show and I can't trace it,
yeah.
You know? But anyways, it's the same magic, Jeff, that goes into the radio, so I always felt like it's my job as the host to make you feel as a listener that you have the mic too. You have a voice, right? And to do that, what the magic is there, I can affect it, right? I can create it. I still do have to rely on you. There's some role that you have to play. Like that's the true magic, right? But in order for me to do that, I have to pull back the black curtain and let you into the green room. Right. Okay. And the green room is never as nice as anybody thinks.
A little bit of spaghetti going on.
Yeah. But the magic, it feeds off that. It feeds off that desire to want to know what it's like back there. Right. Mm-hmm. And this is where, this is a little bit aside from magic, but this is where the cunning comes in, right? As a leader, you got to know to leverage that, right?
Yep.
Well, I'm glad that, I mean, I figured there was more under the covers of this whole conversation about magic. I had a feeling it wasn't just term you threw in there, because what I've found is people who really believe in magic talk about magic, and the people who don't.
Do you believe in it?
Oh my God, yes. And it happens all day. But see, I started to say, we don't have enough magic. Well, it's all around us. It's all around me. It's happened. I've had magic happen today. And the thing is, people are often looking for this life-changing magic moment.
Right.
But life is all about these tiny little bits of magic.
Sparks.
Which is why I kind of like, if you think about Disney, and who did and Tinkerbell. Tinkerbell with the fairy dust, right?
Right.
The fairy dust created this huge transformation, but it was little tiny pieces of fairy dust, and it really wasn't about the dust at all. It was what people were willing to believe about the dust,
right?
And this, so like I'm just constantly, I just go through the world, I think most days like a four-year-old. So
it's interesting,
magic all day long, because kids are always seeing the magic. It's adults that lost their abilities. This is it. This is about Peter Pan. We've got to go back.
Yeah. I think that's the title here. Back to Peter Pan. So yeah. It's interesting that you say that.
Because journey to Neverland.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's like I'm grateful all the time, like everything that I see, but I haven't really tied that back to, oh, that's magic, but it is. It's magical. I mean, there's so much to be grateful for.
We talked about in the beginning, I was telling you how someone had asked me about what makes a fan or, you know, what makes an evangelist. And it's the ability to make other people feel the spark coming out of that wand, right? That's the thing, you know? And I remember going to South by Southwest back in the beginning when Interactive had just started. You could actually bounce around, you know, you didn't have to spend an hour anywhere because you couldn't get across town, right? And you know, the reason that I saw Gary Vee year one and year two there and really loved doing it is because I walked out of that room and I felt like I fucking do anything. Can I say something on your show? Right. You know? And that's by the way, why the other reason I do these shows is because you know, on the gratitude note, it's the karma has been so good to me. I got to pay it back. Right.
Yeah.
And so sure. If I can light a spark in, it sounds so cliche and cheesy, and, you know, whatever, but if I can do that for one person right now, yeah. Thank God.
Right.
Well, it makes me think about goosebumps too. I think people walk around and think, you know, I have goosebumps all the time, and not because I'm cold, because something cool really happened and other people have them. And I love it when they share it with me, because I can go, oh, that's awesome. Because goosebumps, that's the 4-year-old in me. Because goosebumps, like, oh my God, look what happened. What was going on there? And I don't need to understand it. I can just enjoy that moment of that magic. So, you know,
I think
talking about AI, but we're really talking about magic.
Yeah.
And magic happens in the business world all the time. It seems like magic, but in many ways it's not. You know what I mean?
There are more opportunities for us to create magic than we probably give ourselves credit for.
And I think to know when it's happening, that's the key in the business world, right? Like, I call it catalysts. So for me, always, usually somewhere something comes along and sees something that I didn't see, or I did see, but I didn't have the right perception, or I always have an aha and I'm like, oh my God, it's right in front of me. And that, you know, that's the feeling that I get. I just wanted to say, Jeff, I really want to go on a roller coaster with you.
you too,
Craig. We can all go.
Yeah,
I think it'll be fun. 9 is my magical age, because I feel like 9, I always, there's a personal reason, but I feel like 9 is when you're just old enough to really have a pretty cognizant conversation, you know?
Interesting.
But you're still below puberty. You're below that innocence.
Yeah.
My 3 cousins died when I was 9, actually. And
oh,
they were,
wow.
I think, 8, 10, and 12, maybe. Something. It was right around there. And so I really do perceive it as like the time before the innocence, you know?
Wow. Yeah.
Sorry to take us down that path.
That's third grade.
Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty
amazing. I never thought about the age. The reason I think 4 hit me is, as I'm just replaying it, it feels like the most naturally curious age, where at 4 years old, your curiosity is off the charts. You've got an ability to communicate enough to ask the questions that end up annoying the people around you, because they want,
why?
Right? Because when you're 9, I think a lot of the curiosity has been cultured.
You know, consequences.
Out of us.
Yeah.
Right. You know, you've learned to not ask too many questions already. So I think that's why 4 hit me. That's why I did a talk recently, just a mini talk, and I said you should embrace your non-obnoxious 4-year-old as a leader.
Why not your obnoxious 4-year-old?
4-year-old realizes I can piss everybody off by asking questions, but don't be that one. But just keep saying why and why. And I wonder if, what if we did this? You know, I think that's just that 4-year-old mindset that's beautiful in leadership and life and everything.
And it's contagious, by the way. So once start doing it, other people cotton on, and then they're willing to go with you. You just have to give them that permission. You
got to get them past their ego.
Wow. Right. I love that.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking this morning, I was talking to a coaching client and he told a story that we didn't use the word magic, but it was magic. We're talking about business development. And he said, yeah, Jeff, I always start off and say, give me a win, a little win. We're always having, it's not all big wins. What's the little win? He said, well, I reached out to an old high school friend of mine. We got together. He lives in another city away. And at the last minute, we were near a job site. It's a construction company. And I said, let me go show you the job site and show us what I'll show you what we do. And while they're there, they happen to be laying flooring. And his buddy goes, what are they doing? He goes, well, they're laying flooring. And my guy says, yeah, man, it's a tough part for a job because we often struggle to find enough people that do flooring. His buddy goes, I know a guy in that industry. He does large scale flooring. I'll introduce you. And I said to him, I said, would that have happened if you hadn't gone to the job site? He says, no way. The only reason it happened is because we were at the job site and they were putting down flooring. Yeah. Now that to me is magic.
Yes. I think
he followed his instinct, took him there, and there was some magic that happened.
I'm thinking, you know, kismet, synchronicity, like we just were. I have the other book that I reread. There's a lot of books I reread often because I guess I'm old and I want to take less risks. But I love reading. I'm a huge police fan. My first marketing agency was called Outlandos de Moore. I stole Outlandos Media. Sorry. I stole it from Outlandos de Moore, which means outlaw of love. And I like the outlaw part because, hey, rule breaker. and so I have reread One Train Later, Andy Summers' autobiography a few times. And it's so, because I think Sting is an asshole, so I'm not really a big fan of his. And I married a short guitar player, so obviously I have a thing for them. But it's so fascinating. Like, again, you know, he, that for him, so the train, the one train later, right, was, is if I had caught one train later, the opportunity would have evaporated.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So he happened to be there. There was a, he'd met Sting and Stewart, and there was some debate about whether or not he could be in the band and shove Henry out, the other guitar player. And it wasn't really going to happen. And then he happened to be on a train, and he gets off and he sees that Stewart got off at the same train. Right. So then they had a gel.
That's awesome. That was one of my first concerts ever, was the Police.
Oh, awesome. Amazing. Amazing.
Yes.
Jealous. So, I saw them on the other.
I don't know if you can find this now, to your point about the train. There was a Broadway show that was then touring, but it's no longer touring. It's called If Then. And it's about that concept. Like, what if I had chose a different decision, down to the micro of, what if instead of going to this party this night, I went to this party? And they show, the play shows it all happening. It took forever to figure out what was actually happening. It was replaying the different scenarios. And the point was, it wasn't about sort of being at the whim of the world. It was that the choices we make change things.
Yeah.
And we have the ability to use our choices to change things. It was a super empowering show about those micro things, the micro things.
Wow. It reminds me of About Time.
Oh, yeah.
With Domhnall Gleeson. Phenomenal movie. Anyway, yeah. Very cool. Well,
on that note, so people always ask the question, oh, what are your regrets? And I'm like, well, there's none. I mean, and I have done some embarrassing things that make me blush.
Yeah.
But that, I mean, we're here, you know, right? And that's, I don't want to be anywhere than here. But the other question that you both bring up, I think, is it's the, you know, nature versus nurture, or destiny versus choice. And I think that there's a combination of the two. And we kind of said it earlier, like the destiny will push things your way, but but the human, you have to have the ability to open the door, as they say, right? Or walk through the door, or whatever it is. So that's, again, that's, I think, where the leadership, you know, quality comes in. And by the way, in my daily life, the way I say it is, I've got like 50 houses on fire all day long. And I get to put water on one, and it's not even going to put the fire out. Right. And that's the role of a CEO, right? Is to decide who gets a little help.
And do you have a fire team behind you?
I have one hell of a team.
Awesome. That's great.
Thank God.
Yeah. But wow.
So we've gone down this road. So I have to ask this question.
Sure.
It's one I'm often asked, Kate. Do you believe that there is anything that's a coincidence, or is there only kismet, synchronicity?
I don't, you know, it's hard. I'm a spiritual person. I'm not particularly religious, although I believe in my God, whatever that means to me. And I certainly like to think that I have control, but it's always clear to me on a daily basis when I have zero control. And, you know, I meditate every day because I do feel like the only thing I have control over is perception. That's the only thing.
Yeah.
Right. So true. Yeah. I'm just trying to check that to make sure that there isn't anything else. Cause like, even if it's like, I feel fat again, that's my perception.
That's perception,
like,
I
could not have the drink or the donut. and so I guess the answer is I can't, it's so weird. Like I believe in the thread that we're all, the connections happen on purpose, you know?
Yeah.
But like I said, I feel like there has to be some coexistence of, I get to choose. Mm-hmm. Which I feel like the destinies are laid out and I get to choose which one.
Well, but would you say that some of the choices that we made before allow us to have those things happen that kind of happened to us, that rather than we were choosing it in the moment, it may have been part of the things that we've done in the past, the decisions that we've made back.
Yeah, but you can also, make the film work in your favor, right? So like, I was a fiction writing major and I use that every day. I was a rock and roll DJ and I use that every day. But like, I probably could have twisted anything into this life, you know, this the lately life. Right. I probably would. But I have a saying, and I mentioned it earlier, but it's always right in front of me. That's a thing I say a lot. Because when I feel really frustrated and I can't find an answer, even if it's, I'm writing something and I can't find the phrase or the idea, I just think I've already done this somewhere. Email, or I've had the conversation. I just have to sit back and figure out, where am I going to pull? Where is this thing I need to pull it from? Right. So I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, I asked the question because I've thought about it a lot. And, and I've not just thought about it, I've just allowed about it. Because I try to just allow things to come to me versus thinking about them. Mm. And my conclusion is, and there's a lot of paradox in this, which is what life is. One of my core philosophies, perhaps my number one philosophy, is I always have a choice.
Yes, totally agree.
I may not like the choice. They may not be great choices, but I always have a choice, which is with my control, that I don't control anything at all outside of me. Nothing.
Yep.
I've given that up. I gave it up, not just for Lent, but for life. And the third is that I don't believe there's anything as such as, there's no such thing as a coincidence, because coincidences don't make sense to me, but a world that's full of synchronicity makes sense to me. It's just logical. When I see how the world works, when I look at the world at large and say how it just works in sync, how can it not be? So that's just, and what I think is important is when someone says, why does it matter? For me, it matters because those choices of what I choose to believe changes my experience of the world.
For sure.
Because of those choices. So there is an impact of what I choose to believe.
Mm-hmm. I think a big part of that, though, is we have to be able to actually recognize what's going on. You were talking earlier, Jeff, about having that, you know, the chicken, the goose flesh, you know, and how many people get that and don't recognize it when it's happening. It's like one of my friends, my first business partner, he is in the AI space as well. And he tells a story. And every time I tell that story, I get goosebumps because it's so powerful, because he transformed the lives of somebody because of the technology he built. And so it's like, there are these things that happen. And when I started realizing that, I was like, wow, maybe there's something here that I need to pursue a little bit more. But when you see that, so many people seem to just be going through the rote motions and not really paying attention to the magic around them. And like, how can we wake people up?
Yeah. Well, wisdom does that, right? With age, like when you're younger, I don't think you have most people don't have the wherewithal to see those things that you're describing, Craig. That's part of it. But the waking people up is a big thing. I mean, I feel like you have to suffer tragedy in order. This is a great, great big saying, but like angst, pain does breed magic or beauty, or it does. I mean, anyone can tell you, you know, Clapton before he was sober was a lot better. Sorry. You know, or, you know, whatever it is, like I've had, you know, I have my things that I go to this day. I don't type at all. I have a partial permanent disability. I talk to my computer through Dragon Naturally Speaking. And it's just the way I live, right? This is one of my things that I deal with. But like everyone I know who has that spark, that vest for 4-year-oldism, has been through some shit. You know?
Interesting.
Well, and I think something that's important to all of this, whether it's a giant bucket of leadership in life, using the word magic is, I'm thinking about it because I saw a street magician last weekend. If you don't believe in magic, you won't experience magic.
Right.
Right.
Because it's dependent on your belief system. So if you see a magician I'm sure there's something going on here. It's not really magic. There's something here that's happening. Then you're not going to experience the magic based on your belief. And I can sit right next to you and say, wow, that was incredible magic, because I've chosen to believe in magic. If you don't believe in magic, you will not experience magic.
True. And I feel bad for you, whoever you are. Life is more fun when you can believe in it, you know? But I think what you were saying, Craig, about like how do we light that up for other people?
Yeah.
You know, it's understandable for people who don't. I mean, some people just, you know, life delivers some people really, really crappy hands, you know?
Yep.
And then there's those superstars who rise out of it anyways. Right. Yeah.
Well, there's a really good quote by Eric Heller. It says, be careful how you interpret the world. It really is like that. And when you think about that, it's so true, because when we imagine that this thing can't happen, then we just don't open up the possibilities for that to happen.
Yeah. You know, like personally, I always joke and say that my gift is seeing the glass half empty. So I'm that kind of wife. But I'm also that CEO. I mean, I'm always looking for the problems so I can solve them, right? So It does make me a good leader, but it also makes me a bit of a drag, you know? And it's hard for me to celebrate the wins. Like a really hard time, because like it's there and then it feels like it evaporates in a second. And, you know, that kind of wrestling with my own perception, even to see my own magic and give myself credit. I just spent 10 weeks with Mark Roberge, who's the former CRO of HubSpot, who led them to IPO. And one of my greatest takeaways and learnings was, he was like, you're not giving yourself credit for what you're doing right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sounds stupid, but like,
do you give yourself permission to?
I really don't. You know, because the bar, I feel, is either moves all the time for me or women, generally speaking, and it's frustrating for me. And I'm looking for some kind of validation, that I'm chasing validation. And the validation has been set out in this industry for me very clearly. Like, there's numbers to hit and things. And so one of the reasons I spent the 10 weeks with Mark was to get that validation, because I wanted, I'm crazy. I'm doing something crazy. Right. I'm a woman. I'm in MarTech. Check, check, check. Those are two bad things. Right. And I'm doing all organic leads. Oh, you can't scale that. Oh, and my customers are B2B SMB, third rail. And I wanted the validation from someone to say to me, like, keep at it, you know? And I wanted it from someone I really respect, and I got it, which is huge, because, you know, that my ability to self-demoralize is, I'm great at it.
Wow. Do you have a coach or anybody else that helps you to stay in check?
I have like 9 different people, like between acupuncture and therapy and physical therapy and training and husband. And like, I have a series of people in my team, obviously too, but cause I don't, my advisors, you know, Joanne Wilson is on my board and one of my best advisors. And that's Fred Wilson's wife, for people who don't know, Union Square Ventures. And so that's, you know, helpful, but I'm not, you know, I'm a control freak, guys, right? High job hazard. And so I don't really take advice, but unless I ask for it, it's just my nature. I know thyself, you know? And I need to go down to come up. You know what I mean? Like, that's just my nature. So it's funny, like, this is all tied into what we're saying, like the perception, the magic. I find that daily I have those aha moments a lot through these kinds of conversations. I do public speaking almost once a day. It's lead gen for us, right? But, you know, some people are like, why are you doing that? Isn't that a waste of time? And I'm like, actually, it's like the thing I look forward to most.
There you go. Now, do you find that because it's difficult for you to celebrate the wins, that it's also difficult for you to celebrate the wins of others around you? Like, especially at work?
No. I mean, okay. I'm a really good friend.
Okay.
when I show up, I'm always on it.
Well, when you show up,
yeah. I'm there for all the big events. I'm by you. And if you have an emergency, I'll shut everything down to be there for you. With work, My bedside manner sucks. But I mean, apparently not that bad, because I've had staff working for me for free for almost 2 years, you know, so my special superpower is making listeners into fans, or customers into evangelists, or teammates into champions, right? That's my gift. Hmm. But I know what my shortcomings are. And so I surround myself with other people who are like really bubbly and happy.
Well, at the risk of offending you, I'm just going to say what came to me just now as you were talking, Kate. I started thinking about Steve Jobs. Mm-hmm. Because I never met him, don't know him personally, read about him, read his biography and stuff. And it seemed to me he was a guy that knew his demons, knew his shortcomings, and he'll tell you, chose to ignore them. And he built amazing fans and turned them into evangelists, not only outside the company, the buyers, but with his team. But I don't think anybody would ever say he was a great people leader in the sense of that way. And I think it worked brilliantly for Apple and him. I don't know what your reaction to that is.
Well, he died of cancer. And so remember, stress manifests physically for me. Yeah. So I'm always aware of what's eating me. For me, it often is, I when I have a panic attack, it's usually here. I feel like I can't talk.
By your throat?
Yeah, and it's because I'm not saying something. There's something that needs to be acknowledged or said. So I've been, one of the best things that's happened to me in the last 7 years since lately is to call out the bullshit. And do it in a way, not chip on the shoulder way, not blamey way, just the acknowledge, you know. I really feel so passionate about this, so committed to this, because we're underdogs everywhere, not just women. But you know, when I have an investor sit back and put their hands behind their head and say, "Oh, so how can I be helpful to you?" I know what that fucking means. It means I'm not interested. That's patronizing. I know what that means. So let's just call it out what it means. Because wasting time is obnoxious. Mm-hmm. Wasting anyone's time. Let's just cut to the chase. You know, they're always saying, there's this phrase, and I've used it too in venture capital world about raising, just get her number, right? Meaning like, just get the phone number. And I remember hearing that in the beginning and saying to him, my co-founder, I don't understand what this means. And he's like, you know, like in college when you're dating. And I was like, in college, I was the girl. I didn't need a fucking phone number. Right. And also I'm direct by nature. Like that's I don't have an edit button. It doesn't work that way. So I'd be like, hey, you want to go back? Let's go. Right. And so the what am I saying? Not pedestal, but the forum that being in this industry is giving me around speaking around that, right? Giving that voice. And sometimes it's not one of the things I've realized, you know, so let me back up. In radio, of course, it was a boys club, right? Like on wheels. And there was so much sexual harassment. It was rampant. I participated in that also because it was normal. It was part of the culture. It was expected. It's celebrated actually. I didn't know what the hostile work environment was. It was happening to me and I wasn't causing that. And we didn't have those words back then for that. But this is what manifested for me physically, is this reaction. My body started screaming at me, get out of this. And I didn't listen for so long, you know? And so now that I have that knowledge and that wisdom to A, listen to my gut, because if I don't, I can't, I'm going to have a panic attack. I can't speak, can't use my arms. And number two, to let other people know, like, it's okay. This is the most important thing. And sorry to go on. It's okay to not react in the moment. Lots of people get dissed because they're like, well, then you must have wanted it or asked for it because you didn't have the wherewithal to say, stop, or don't do this to me. And that's not what happens. A lot of the times you're like, what the hell, what's happening? You're shocked. You don't even realize it, you know? Or you play along because you don't know any better. But it's the after the fact is is really amazing when you can share, and this is with positive things too. I don't mean negative things always, but like, it's okay not to understand something beautiful in the moment, something sad, something terrible, and to give yourself the wherewithal to have the time afterwards to acknowledge whatever it is.
Interesting. I would say, I wonder how many people actually take the time to reflect on their days or even on moments.
You know, I don't have kids, so I don't know what it's like to have even less time than I already have.
Yeah, great point. Yeah. Let's take a quick break and hear from our sponsors. I've been a Beta Gamma Sigma member for the last 20 years. If you're looking to hire, the right candidate is closer than you think. Beta Gamma Sigma is the International Business Honor Society, exclusively for students at the top of their class in the top 5% of business schools in the world. BGS members are academic achievers, skilled leaders, and experienced problem solvers, and their skills and experience extend beyond the classroom. They hold chapter leadership positions, attend global business summits, complete ethics trainings, and engage in world-class internships with top corporations. When you hire a Beta Gamma Sigma member, you are truly hiring the best in business. For more information, email bgshonors@betagammasigma.org to learn more about how to hire BGS members.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hi, my name is Sarah, and I want to tell you about my podcast called Can I Offer You Some Feedback? I'm a business consultant and executive coach with over 20 years experience in change management, leadership development, and naturally providing feedback to high performers. My podcast is for those of you who have a complicated relationship with feedback, whether giving, receiving, avoiding, or seeking. Feedback is essential for our development. In each episode, you'll hear from real people across industries with their ideas, perspectives, and best practices on feedback. I'll also be sharing business bites with you, simple explanations of organizational tools, management techniques, and leadership philosophies that will help you and your businesses thrive. You can listen to Can I Offer You Some Feedback on your favorite podcast app or learn more at evergreenpodcasts.com.
Welcome back.
Kate, I'm really curious about something you said in your sharing. You talked about you're in an unusual space in our culture as a woman and what you're doing, the way you're doing it, the space you're in. And what I wonder, I'm curious about is, do you feel like women seeking to achieve, create, have been culturized to believe that I can't celebrate? I can't ever turn it off. I've got to constantly be find the flaws, fix them, constantly solving. A lot of people have that, men and women, but
I mean, the reason that I obsess over playing out maybe a little more predominantly. You can't see it because Zoom put my makeup on for me today, as it always does, thank God. But like, I have wrinkles here and I hate them. And I spent a lot of money on eye cream. You know, this is my thing. And people, like, you know, if you're watching the Kardashians, you're like, oh my God, even come on, I know it's awful. But my friend was reminding me, she's like, you know, they spend 8 hours a day looking good, learning how to look good. You spend 8 hours a day or more on Lately. That's a job. But, you know, yeah, I mean, and the reason I was thinking of that, Jeff, is because it's everywhere you look as a woman, there's a mirror showing you all these things that you need to be. Me too, you know, and some of it I like and some of it I don't. Like I like the door being held open for me. I do. I like that. I like knowing that men and women are women. I like that. You know, I do. It's still, I'm going to say something so unpopular, sorry in advance, but like, it's weird to me to see the sign on the bathroom stall that there's a half a person wearing a skirt. I don't know what that means still. I'm learning, you know, these things. And I like taking my husband's last name, which I did. I don't think those things are disempowering or anything. But at the same time, like, I want to be beautiful and sexy and skinny. And I want to be, these are things that I don't know any male CEO has ever said, but every female CEO I know has this on top of being a mother, probably, right? And being you can't just be like I wasn't taught to win the game. I was taught to beat the machine. You know what I mean? That's when you're playing an arcade game and the numbers roll over.
Yeah.
And I have 4 arcade games in the back and I've beat them all several times over. So I know exactly how that feels. but there's this thing, I'm sure you guys have heard it before, where in venture capital land, female and male venture capitalists will ask women different questions than they ask men. They ask men the growth questions and they ask women the retention questions. So for a man, how are you going to grow your business? For a woman, how are you going to keep your customers? Okay.
Wow.
And women do it too, right? So we're even harder on each other. And I've found that as well. Like, there's a lot of people saying, yeah, we're going to invest in women. And they're not putting their money where their mouth is. And they're shitting all over us. And women, I actually had a chat with a woman recently who like fucked the deal up for me. And I was like, dude, you just cost me this deal and you didn't have to. And like, I'm not asking you to be honest, or dishonest or anything, but like you went out of your way to kill my mojo, And I've not done that too, but like as a woman, I've definitely been a mean girl. I know what it's like to do that. Right. And I know what it's like to watch my friends do that to people I care about, which is why I stopped in high school. I chose different friends. I saw that. And I was like, that sucks. But like the fact that I get what I see it, I understand how to do it. If I wanted to, like we were talking earlier about being instead of walking into a room before we recorded, instead of walking to a room and trying to be the light that shines so bright, instead you want to be the magnet that's pulling in everyone else and then making them feel bright and shiny. So they walk away feeling that super glow, right? And women don't do that so often. It's so easy to on other women, right? It's so easy to diss them too. I've had a very famous CMO look me up and down and do that. And I wasn't wearing Chanel and Louboutin. So I wasn't. I was wearing cowboy boots, jeans, and a t-shirt because that's how I roll. But I got that, got that look up and down. And it feels, right away what you're dealing with, because I'm never going to get that magic out of them, Jeff and Craig, right? It's never going to happen.
Did you look her up and down after that?
Actually, I told their company to go themselves because they tried to steal my tech in no uncertain words.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, see where it's coming from. Wow. Goes around, comes around.
No. Well, I'm really great for you sharing that because I think too often that conversation is not happening. It's not happening, or it's getting danced around.
Yeah.
It's getting danced around. And that's why I was curious. And I'm glad. Thanks for sharing the depth of that experience and perspectives on that. So I want to make sure you are. Where are you at with lately in terms of the growth of it and the stage? Like you're 7 years in, you said?
Yeah. 7 years in. We're in market 3 years. And I'm about to do something crazy.
Well, that's shocking.
Bring the magic.
I'm already doing it. I can't really talk about it, but it's exciting. I needed to flip the switch. I could feel myself being stale, my leadership being stale. I could feel the team stale. I could see the revenue being stale, like all these things. And I knew this for months, but I couldn't put my finger on it. And I need that catalyst. Remember, we said need that magic. And Mark Roberge's team, I knew that the great thing about any accelerator, and I've been through a lot of them, is they always shine a big old bright light on whatever is wrong. And then they waste your time with a little programming usually. So I don't go to that. but it's so exciting to, and I asked for help too. I cried my eyes out and went to my co-founders and said, I cannot do this by myself. I need you to be the leaders with me right now. Cause I'm burnt. I'm fried. Mm. You know, I've got multiple grinder stories, right? Like I'm addicted to getting punched in the face and I'm competitive. I'm not going to go to bed till I beat the machine. Right. And you know, I'm raising again, I'm doing an angel round and I'm also about to raise a price round again. I've failed at this twice now and, it feels terrible. And all of my demons come out and I stick my head in the ground and think about, you know, all the things I've done wrong. This is also, by the way, a very typical female thing to do first is to run through the tape of all the things that you've done wrong rather than acknowledging what you've done right. Or perhaps the things that weren't in your control. And it feels bad, but I've got this team that depends on me. I've got other entrepreneurs, other women, other underdogs depending on me, customers, friends and family looking to me. Like I want so badly to be the person that people look at and say, she did it, you mm-hmm. know? And I may or may not get that. When I left radio, I was terrified that I was going to lose my identity. Who would I be? I wasn't going to be Kate on the air anymore. No, I had no hand. I had no control. I couldn't get free concert tickets anymore. This identity was going to be washed away. Right. And isn't that funny how you roll yourself up in this thing, you know? Yeah. And then it turns out I had a million more me's to be, but I'm having that
so true,
you know, right. Yeah. And I'm having a similar crisis with lately because I have an imagined life after lately. It's like, God forbid, I don't want a J-O-B.
Right.
You know?
So how do you look at that from your identity perspective? Are you CEO of lately or are you Kate who happens to also be CEO of lately?
You know, time-wise, I'm certainly only the CEO of lately. Like that's where, you know, my husband's like, you don't have any hobbies. Which I used to do a lot of writing and sewing, and believe it or not, I love quilting, nerd alert. I used to play a lot of sports. Yeah. I can't play sports because I have so many injuries that I just don't have that same
right.
body anymore. But the competitive nature of this person who wants to beat the machine, that doesn't go away. I'll just do something else where I'm, you know, I mean, I'll just reassign something. Maybe, you know, I was also a line cook, by the way, all through high school and college.
Well, you've had full experiences. I love what you said though. You know, there were a million me's to be, and I think so many people think that they have one path to go. You know, they went to school for this thing, so they got to stick with it. No, you don't have to. In fact, so many people have shifted. Jeff used to be an attorney. Yeah. He's fully recovered now.
Well, I think you did. The reason I brought up the line cook thing is I just think you need to know the character of what those me's are.
Yeah.
Meaning for me, it's obviously lawless, unmapped chaos where I'm the underdog. You know, I like that scenario. Kitchen, I'm the only girl in the kitchen. Radio, usually the only woman in radio. Venture capital, not a lot of us. But you make up the own rules. Go ahead.
Okay, I want to reframe Craig's question a little bit.
Yeah.
He was asking about how do you see yourself as the CEO of lately or Kate, who happens to be the CEO lately? And my question is, you talked about the mirrors that are always around you. Today, when you look in that mirror, do you see Kate, who happens to be building this business, or do you just see the CEO of lately? And you need to be that right now.
Honestly, in the mirror, I'm just looking at physical stuff and I see all the flaws. You know, so in the mirror, I know that I weigh 135 pounds and that's 10 pounds over where I would like to be, which may sound asinine, but I'm just being really honest. And I bust my ass to do that. But, you know, I still drink and I can't go running 4 hours a day or anything. I mean, or running at all. But that's what I look at. And it's, I think about it a lot because when I stand in the mirror, I look at my stomach. That's the thing I don't like, or my eyes, my eye wrinkles. And I relate it to this computer screen, actually. So whenever I walk, this is my office. That's my closet right there. You can't see it, but well, there it is. The mess over there. When I walk into this room, the first thing I look at is this screen. And so every day or on the weekends when I'm not working, I have to close this because otherwise it's here. And it's the same thing in the mirror. When I walk by the mirror, I look at this and I look at the, you know, this, right? This is where my scrutiny is going. This is my crazy is going there.
So for our listeners, she was pointing to her eyes and her stomach.
Yeah. Which is stupid because I look great. I'm 47. What's wrong with me? Like I see the glass half empty. I'm aware of these things. Okay. But you're asking something more philosophical. You know, that question is neither. Like I see the 9-year-old me. Like I'm the one, my neighbors just are awesome. And they had a huge fireworks display for a 75th birthday party the other night. And everyone was sitting around like not responding. And I'm just going, woo, woo. That's my nature. And I'm just like, yeah, this is awesome. I get so excited by those things. I'm on the roller coaster. I'm a screamer, you know,
you
I am. Right. And I'm really good at being that person, Jeff. And I'm really good at pulling that out at other people. And so that's who I think of, you know, that doesn't go away. That's not going to go away no matter what I do. I mean, like, I think if I really, the thing now in my life that would kill my identity, truly, truly crush it would be if my husband died, when he dies, if he dies before me, right? That would, boy, I don't know how I don't know what my identity would be without him.
Wow. Yeah. I just lost my mom about a month ago and, you know, seeing my dad's response to that, and he's 92 and he's, you know, it is a tough deal.
I'm sorry about your mom.
Thanks.
Oh, how about we take a breath, Kate? Right? Still here.
Yeah. There.
Still here. So Kate, you've shared so many, I hate to, it seems trite to call them wisdom. So many vulnerable truths. We'll go with that. What's the, if you could pull it all, one nugget out of it, what's the one nugget to particularly a woman in business, a woman entrepreneur, what does she need to know from you today?
Listen to her gut. That thing is like a weather vane. It knows.
Beautiful. Well, thank you, Kate. Thanks for all of that, all of this. And the way you showed up today shows me how you show up in the world.
Yeah, and, seriously.
It's making a difference. We always want to have our guests have a chance to promote or highlight something going on. What is that for you, Kate?
Thanks so much, Craig and Jeff. Feel free to reach out to me. I'm on LinkedIn at Kate Bradley. No churnus. And lately.ai is where all the magic happens. As we
Well, I love that. And we always wrap up with a question. And the one that came to me based upon this conversation is about movies. I know you're a reader. I don't know if you're a movie person, but I'm going with movies. What's the movie, the character, the scene that speaks to you about impactful leadership?
I'm sorry. We just watched Caddyshack again.
And, there's some good ones in there too.
You know, what is it? A donut without a hole is just a Danish.
Yeah.
Perspective, right, Jeff?
Yeah. Perspective indeed. Perspective indeed.
I feel like $100. That's one of his lines. That's best.
The wisdom of storytelling, for sure. So thank you, Kate. Thank you for all that you brought today. And most importantly, thank you for all that you're bringing in the world and the impact you're making every day. So thank you.
If you enjoy the Leadership Junkies podcast and you want to grow your leadership, we have a new course for you called Become a Confident Leader. In this course, we will share some of the keys to becoming more confident in your leadership and also to become more impactful. Go to cartavera.com/confident to find out more. See you on the inside.
The world's best-known investor and Wall Street expert, Warren Buffett, once said, "Wall Street is the only place that people ride to in a Rolls Royce to get advice from those who take the subway." Mr. Buffett's quote is remarkably accurate, but how many people would rather receive advice from him than someone simply guessing? Welcome to Buy, Hold, Sell, your single source for Wall Street knowledge and profitable guidance. Please join me, Todd Schoenberger, and fellow trader Tobin Smith, as well as host Veronica Dudo, for a podcast known to move the needle for investors. Tobin and I are seasoned Wall Street executives with deep investment experience, and we are prepared to share our advice to those who choose to listen. Download Buy, Hold, Sell today on the Evergreen Podcast Network or your favorite podcast channel.